Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Is ticking as the Senate opens debate on a $1.9 trillion pandemic relief bill. How many times have I said $1.9 trillion on this show? Probably a trillion too many times. It feels like that anyway. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. Seriously, right now, what are they doing on the Hill? It's called Reading the Bill. 600 plus pages. Can you imagine? I think some of the aides are going to lose their voices in Washington, D.C. But seriously, so this is what's happened. The Democrats moved forward without Republican support. There was a lot of 11th hour negotiations, as they call them. It did not work. The vote was 51 to 50. VP Harris breaks the tie. The Republicans are united against the procedural motion suggesting that no Republican will vote in favor of the legislation, duh, on the final passage of it. But it comes after hours of debate and an amendment free-for-all that could drag into the weekend. Well, they're earning their paychecks. So anyway, it'll have to go back to the House, as you all know, for final approval before it's sent to the president's desk for his signature. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has guaranteed that the House is going to pass the Senate's version of that bill. There have been some tweaks that some of the Democrats don't like, including narrowing eligibility for the $1,400 relief checks and excluding the $15 an hour minimum wage. So that was axed. Joe Manchin, Democrat from Wisconsin. Democrat, he'd be mad about that if somebody told Joe I said that. From West Virginia, the great state of West Virginia, he was like, no go on that. And the Democrats have such a razor-thin margin, they couldn't lose any Democrats. There's even this moment where Senator Lisa Murkowski, she's always in play somehow, the Republican from Alaska, suggested she would vote with him, but she didn't. So there were all these last-minute changes, all that other stuff that goes on behind the scenes, and even Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell made clear he wanted Republican senators to stay unified against the legislation. But the bottom line is, where did the numbers go? You already saw the 51-50, so unless some Democrat bails, it's going to happen. So what does that mean? I just explained it. It goes back to the House, then it goes to the president. If you're in line to get some do-re-mi, this may be what you need, so you might be happy about it. There are others who are not so thrilled about it for various reasons. So it includes a $350 billion pot, so to speak, of state and local money. It sets aside $10 billion for infrastructure needs. Oh, thank goodness for that. That makes sense. It includes broadband, a rule barring cities and states from using any federal money to pay down pension costs or offset new attempts to cut taxes. And it also includes new provisions to ensure smaller states like Alaska would receive money, adequate money, and directs increased funding to tourism and outdoor rec industries, which have been crushed by the pandemic. So what's happened is the clock is ticking on the reading of a 628-page bill, because that's what it is. And it just drags and is dragging into the Friday hours. You may be listening to me at different times, but as this leaves my lips, those words in that bill are leaving the lips of those on the Hill that get the great job of reading it. You know, senators normally waive a full reading of legislation, but this time around, Senator Ron Johnson, Republican from Wisconsin, insisted on a full reading of it. and he described this as part of his plan to resist the legislation. He also intends to try to force votes on multiple amendments. We'll see where that goes. I'm not so sure about that. But all of it's going to be read. And Schumer said, fine, read it so Americans can hear the contents of a measure that is polled well with the public, which that part's true. There are Republicans who are saying yes to it, and I think it's people who need the money, who are holding the fort down as best they can and realize with unemployment benefits and a few other things, and with so many other people, lots of people in that middle class that have been crushed by this, who are, of course, showing up at food pantries that normally you wouldn't have seen. That's what the pandemic has done to so many, and I think that's probably what that's about more than anything else. So the stimulus checks, state and local funding, blah, 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 the money, $130 billion for schools, $160 billion for vaccines, testing, other assistance for health care, that kind of stuff, child credits, and then so much more that is shoved in there. It's interesting because you think about bills, and it the light bulb kind of goes off for some people. You know, this is the problem with legislation. How many of those that are working on the legislation actually read the whole bloody thing? Because usually they're so thick, it's impossible, and they don't do it. So at least it's going to be read. I don't know. It's taken up a lot of time, and you and I are the taxpayers, and we are paying for it. Ultimately, it goes through. The $15 minimum wage that Biden had included in the bill, ruled out by Senate parliamentarian grounds that it didn't comply with the rules of budget reconciliation. So that infuriated liberals. But it helped, I think, with moderate Democrats, like I said, Joe Manchin from West Virginia and some others, because they weren't going to support the bill, and you had to have those Democrats. Bottom line is, by the end of March, if you need the stimulus or you need some of the things that could come as a result of what's positive, not the crummy crap that's stuck in the bill, then you'll probably be seeing that again by the end of March. So as we motor through this hour, always thrilled to be here with all of you. And seriously, what a year it's been, right? And I look at what's going on with the vaccines. 20%, a little over 20% of Americans, adult Americans, have been vaccinated. And the conversation, I'll tell you what the conversation is about. For people who are getting vaccinated, because I've seen it with my friends, I've like shut down looking at the texts, is what were the side effects? Do you have any side effects? What happened to the second shot? What was it like? Did you get fevers? Did you get chills? Because the concern is over the side effects. I understand completely. And now you have Johnson & Johnson, which, of course, is the one-shot deal, and that's the shot that people want, I think, because they want the one shot and they don't want to have to get the second shot. 520,000 people in the United States have died. For all of our friends listening around the world, we feel you. We're in it. We get it. 2.57 million have died. Total cases worldwide, 116 million, give or take, because do we always know the whole amount? These are numbers, of course, from John Hopkins. Speaking of numbers, we can count on the flip side.
Following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The pet industry saw nearly $99 billion in sales in 2020, and pet food accounted for about $38.4 billion in sales. This vibrant market keeps growing, and you can find out which companies are leading the charge with your free research report from Avid Market Traders. Text PET to 48542. We've discovered that a potential multi-billion-dollar growth opportunity has tails wagging over a company. company that incorporates functional pet food ingredients that offer proven health benefits for pet owners around the world. And that means hyper growth in the market for domestic and international pet owners. If you're a pet owner, text the word PET to 48542 to get this red-hot market intelligence delivered to your mobile device. Text PET to 48542 for your free research from Avid Market Traders. Get the best for your investment strategy and for your pet when you text PET to 48542.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Sad and ugly, and some of them are amazing. Look around you, numbers, people, they're everywhere. So this was a sad story. Have you hiked the Grand Canyon? Oh, I'll save my Grand Canyon story for another time, but I've done it. A man's body and a motorcycle was found 465 feet below the Grand Canyon rim. The National Park Service released that info. That happened on Wednesday. They say there was a multi-day search going on. The person is believed to be 40-year-old John Pennington from Walton, which is in northern Kentucky. He's been missing since February 23rd. The park rangers said he was taken out by helicopter, and they talked about the fact that he had left his personal vehicle, and then, you know, it looks like he may have just been riding the cycle. I mean, they don't know all the details, but obviously that's how he was found. And, boy, sad, sad story. How about this one? New York woman was arrested in Arizona for assault on an American Airlines flight during a flight from Dallas. It seems like it's – what's going on in Dallas? During American Airlines flight from Dallas to L.A., two New York women reportedly became violent, and they were arrested in Phoenix. See, here's the thing that happens. The people that are on the plane that are just already probably a little, like, iffy, you know, you're masked up, you're on this flight, you can't do the things you normally do, and then somebody busts out and does that, and everybody pays the price. Why? Because you have to have an emergency landing. So they were accused of racial slurs, and they got into a whole slap thing, apparently. So the plane was diverted to Sky Harbor, which is the airport in Phoenix. And two people were, you know, picked up. They were verbally and physically assaulting other passengers and crew members, even. Witnesses were saying that they were just out of control. A male passenger asked them to stop using the slurs. They didn't. They spun at the man, went after him, and he started to record it. And could it be that it is drinking? I don't know. But both were booked into jail, and not a good thing, and not great for the people that had to have that little bit of a delay there. And it would be a little bit of a delay by the time they got them off, dealt with everything else that was happening. Yeah, not fun for anyone. All right, looking at entertainment, and of course the big story is one that I briefly mentioned, the Oprah interview of Harry and Meghan, and what will be said about the royals and where do they go, you know, from there. But the second biggest story, I think, with entertainment / infotainment / sports, yes, all three in this one, is Aaron Rodgers, who is the most valuable player in the NFL. He got the award this year for that. And when he was accepting his award, he blurted out the fact that he was engaged to actress Shailene Woodley. And he said it's the best thing that happened to him in the last year. He's enjoying this part of his life. That's what he's now been quoted as saying. And he's saying that, you know, fatherhood is certainly in his future. The next great challenge will be being a father. I hope he told her. So, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, of course. I guess they got engaged. They had been engaged a while, and this story is the story that people in the sports world, people in the entertainment profession, and people who are just curious about Aaron Rodgers, and maybe her too, are over the moon about finding every little detail about it. It is also interesting that in April, he wants to host Jeopardy, and he's going to host Jeopardy, which I think is interesting because since Alex Trebek died, they've used former winners. They had some success with the producer of Jeopardy in doing that because he was legendary. How do you replace a legend? It's tough. Aaron Rodgers is going to get his chance just to do it. And I guess he's a huge Jeopardy fan. That could be kind of, I think that could be kind of interesting to watch to see how he pulls that off, I guess. Right? Yeah, sure. If you're thinking of going to Australia, Australia extended their international travel ban through at least mid-June. So for all of us who wanted to go there, we can't go down under. Don't expect to go to Bondi Beach or do anything on the city's famous bridge climb until way after June. So Greg Hunt, the Australian Minister for Health and Aged Care, is his title, announced that the South Pacific country has extended the ban on travel until June, and he calls it, or they call it, the Biosecurity Act 2015. It's been in place since March 17, 2020, and so they're extending it until the 17th of June. And then they've got a whole list of precautions for international travel for Australians and cruise ships, and I mean, it's probably going to be pretty much what other places will do as well, right? Because there's going to be a whole new standard for travel, I would think. There probably would have to be, unless some countries feel safe enough to just toss it all aside, but I have my doubts on that. So I think what they're doing is probably what you can expect. So despite the fact that the COVID-19 relief bill does not contain the $15 an hour minimum wage raise, Kroger upped the pay to $15.50. Kroger grocery stores an hour. Digital sales topped $10 billion. Oh, yeah. Total sales surged 8.4% to $132.5 billion in the pandemic-ravaged 2020. So extra receipts, That adds up to the equivalent of nearly two Fortune 500 companies in total revenues. And the Cincinnati-based grocer also posted a $2.6 billion profit for the year. That's a 5.6% increase. That is an incredible metric, right? It's just incredible. And of course, that was propelled by the shift of customers' food consumption habits. Nearly $1 out of every $4 that Americans use to spend going out to eat shifted away to food consumed at home. So that's $162 billion extra, mostly going to supermarkets, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. What happens, excuse me, what happens when Americans go back to eating out? Or will Americans go back to eating out at the numbers, I think, that we used to eat out at? I don't know. I mean, digital sales, $10 billion. So for digital sales doubling like that, that is 116% growth. So they decided, we like our frontline employees. We're going to give them $15.50. We're going to give them $15.50 because we already pushed it up. We're going to do that. Because I know, that's the face of the business, right, in all these areas. And Kroger has regional supermarket chains in 35 states, so they own other stores. And that's a staggering, staggering amount. But, again, makes sense because of the consumption of so much food from the grocery store versus going out to eat, which normally that would be probably a much different number, much lower number, even if it was quietly growing. The idea of pulling up and, digitally ordering things, and that may stay. Some of that, I think, will stay. And maybe some of it will change a little bit, but maybe it won't shift as much as we think. It remains to be seen what happens. There were a couple of quakes in New Zealand, and there was worry over a tsunami, a major magnitude 8.1 earthquake struck 600 miles northeast of New Zealand, and it triggered concerns of a potential tsunami across large portions of the Pacific. It spanned from New Zealand and Australia to as far east as Central and South America. The third major earthquake in less than 8 hours on that one fault line that passes east of New Zealand. Wow. Ooh, tsunami. And they were even saying South America and Central America projected for tsunami waves of up to 1 to 3 feet. That's a big one. Hang with us. Going to introduce you to a couple of great authors next.
Power grid failures and natural disasters. They happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King. Senate debate on the $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief package has been drawn out. Senate Republicans have requested the 628-page bill to be read aloud after Wisconsin Republican Ron Johnson objected to the routine request to waive it.
All I'm trying to do is make this a more deliberative process, but obviously shine the light on this abusive and obscene amount of money that's going to further mortgage our children's future.
The reading of the bill could go on into Friday morning, followed by 20 hours of debate on the bill and the amendments. A federal judge has ordered a two-month continuance in the case of the man who sat at Speaker Nancy Pelosi's desk during the January 6th riot at the Capitol. Richard Barnett erupted at the judge during the virtual hearing. The adjournment means he'll be detained until the next hearing. This is USA Radio News. The American Society of Civil Engineers have given the U.S. infrastructure a C grade. With more, here's USA Radio Network's Lance Pry.
America's airports, roads, and other systems received a grade of C-, a slight improvement from 2017's D+. Describing America's infrastructure, the American Society of Civil Engineers released its grade on Wednesday. The organization analyzes 17 individual categories, ranging from bridges, roadways, public transit, parks, and ports, and release a grade every 4 years. Grades this year range from a B, good, in rail, to a D- poor in transit. The C grade represents a mediocre rating. Grades in five categories, aviation, drinking water, energy, island waterways, and ports improved. Just one category, bridges, declined. It is the first time in 20 years America's infrastructure is out of the D range. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the unprecedented boom in the U.S. markets. If you're following EV stocks, then you may know that this potential $3 trillion marketplace depends on graphite for next-generation energy cells. You can get free up-to-the-minute research on the stocks that are leading the way in this red-hot sector with your free subscription to Avid Metals Research Report when you text the word HOT to 48542. Developments in the electric vehicle market are compelling, but investors know we're running short on lithium and graphite supply. Did you know we could also be running short of cobalt? Cobalt is used in chemical production and is one of the critical elements needed to make the EV power source. Research suggests there's not enough ability to mine and process the material to meet demand. We've identified a strategically well-positioned company that could lead the way in solving this critical problem. Get your free research from the Metals Research Report when you text HOT to 48542. Text HOT to 48542.
Writing not just one book, two books, three books, four books, five books, and they're children's books, and they just come to you through different things that you see in your own family and the things around you, too. Evelyn Heckhouse has done that, and she, like I said, has written several books, The Friendly Fish, Noise in the Barn, Goats, Coats, and More, A Traveling Puzzle Piece, that's my favorite, Best Dancer. And it all started with a traveling puzzle piece. So I want to talk about that first. Evelyn, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Did you ever think you would write children's books?
I never did dream about it, no.
No. For 34 years, you taught home economics.
I did.
Married for 44 years. You have this great life, and you all of a sudden decide, you know, I have these stories to tell. And it started with the puzzle. It started with the traveling puzzle piece. Explain that story for the listeners.
Okay. I began seeing, after my first husband passed away, a couple of years after that, I began seeing this very nice gentleman. And he told me that he was going to go to up to New Hampshire. But in the meantime, so along the way, he purchased this puzzle and left it in the back of his truck. Well, he did go to New Hampshire. Then he came back to New Bern, North Carolina, where we both lived. And he told me he had decided he was going to move to Mount Airy, North Carolina. So when we were packing up all of his belongings, I discovered this puzzle. And I said, well, leave your puzzle with me. I'll put it together and maybe even get it framed and bring it to you up in Mount Airy. And so I did. I did do that. And after I got the puzzle together, I took it here and yon and there, and I managed to lose one piece. And several weeks later, it did turn up in my house. But the traveling, I let the puzzle piece tell the story about how he wanted to go traveling. And actually, he did. He traveled from West Virginia up to New Hampshire, back from New Hampshire back to Newbern, North Carolina. And then in the end, after he got all framed, he got to travel from Newbern, North Carolina, over up to the western part of North Carolina in Mount Airy. So at the end, he says, anyone can have dreams. It's enjoying the journey that makes them come true. And I had a good time writing that story.
Boom, and that's the lesson right there. Anyone can have fun. It's enjoying the journey. So ultimately, excuse me, you come up with what is the lesson in it. When we talk about, like, the friendly fish, how did you come up with that one?
That was a dream I had one night, and it was in color. And when I woke up that morning, I thought, this is too good to not write about. So I had gone to bed thinking about some fun that my brother and I had when we went to the beach with my family, and we had built sandcastles. And one episode, I felt this little fish nuzzle in my leg, and I told my brother, I think this fish kissed me. So that's probably, I began thinking about that night. So I think that's where the story came from, because I dreamed about the two fish, the boy fish and the girl fish, and how they made friends with us. And
I understand about the fish, because that hit me when I was a kid. I grew up in outside of Philadelphia, Evelyn, and my family took us down to Texas, which was like a foreign place to me. And we were in a lake swimming, and they had kissing fish, and it scared me because the fish came up to you and they attached to you, and I had no idea it wasn't. And they, for my whole life, they've had a great laugh about that. So it was interesting, your book, and you know how. You have a lot with, like, Noise in the Barn, Goats, Coats, and More. Tell me about those. What's a noise in the barn?
It started with a chore that little Nat had to do one Saturday, and he invited his cousin over to help him. I thought that was just too good of a story about how they worked together. And at the end, how they were so happy that they had made this accomplishment. But I added a little mystery to it. I added a little noise in the barn that they kept hearing while they were cleaning up the barn and rearranging the tools and all that. They made a bar and hung up all the tools that were laying on the ground, and they pulled out all the equipment and raked in there. And I let them hear this noise in the barn, which is what the... It's a little mystery that I wove in. It's really, that part's not true. They did have to clean out the barn one Saturday, but the noise is actually something I threw in the story to make it more interesting.
Right, that's creative license when you're writing any books, and that's and especially with a children's book. And I mentioned this at the top. You use your grandchildren's names. What do they think about this?
Oh, they loved it. They loved it. And in the Goats, Coats, and More, I made up one story. All those stories are true, but the last story in there about the goats escaping from the pen and going across the street, across the highway, and going over to another pasture that was not fenced in, and I made that part up. But Ben, I let Ben read my whole little book when I finished it, and Ben says, Grandma, that actually happened. So every story in there is true now.
And, you know, not to leave out the girls, a young girl, you have one called Best Dancer, and that story is about a young girl who likes to dance.
Yes, and that was my granddaughter, Haley. I don't use her last name in there, but they're all fiction, and that whole story is fiction. It's just a story I dreamed up using her name because she does love to dance. She's married now and is a school teacher, but she still loves to dance.
Oh, she's a school teacher, so she's the perfect mouthpiece for your books. She should bring them in and read them to the kids.
Yeah, but it's about middle school age because they are changing classes in my story.
Yeah. So. Wow. And middle school age is a tough time, isn't it?
I think it is. It was for my children. They were really struggling with who they wanted to be and with mother's and daddy's restrictions and their friends' daring escapades.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the most fun about doing these? What's been the most fun part of doing these books for you, doing these children's books?
I can't pinpoint something. I feel such a excitement when I'm writing it. And the first two started out with a story that I entered in the Senior Olympic event and got a gold medal on my stories. Well, not the first two. The Traveling Puzzle Piece and The Best Dancer I submitted to the Senior Olympic event and the Silver Arts and won a gold medal on my story. And because that's really how I got started. Really what inspired me to get it into a book, because that first one, A Traveling Puzzle Piece, one of the judges wrote me a letter on the back of the last page. She said, you need to write it, submit this and get it published. So I did. And then five have evolved from all that.
Yeah, so I'm assuming I believe you have more stories in you. Are you going to do more?
I do. I really would like to write episodes in Mr. Field's life. My second husband, after Mr. Harrison passed away, several years later, I joined the singles club and I met Mr. Heckhouse, and he proposed to me about 6 months later. And I've got a lot of little stories that he told me about how he and his friend built a sailboat, and he told me about all of the trips that his wife made to the grocery store to buy Saran wrap or the secure wrap. And just when he married me, he came to my house with about 10 or 12 rolls of Saran wrap.
So, he said, I have extras. Do you want some?
So he brought them all. He cleared out his old house and came to my house to be my husband.
Oh, how fun is that? And there you are. You joined the singles club, and within 6 months, boom, you just knew, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was fun.
What did he think about you writing all the books? He was encouraging you, right?
Oh, the first one, I got the first one published while I was married to him. And Mr. Phil says, Evelyn, you've got everybody in the neighborhood's name in this book. You don't have mine. I said, look, sweetheart, your name is on the front. It says Evelyn Heckhouse. And that's your name? And he said, yes, that's my name. I take it back.
Right, so now you got to tell his stories. And for the illustrations, who does those?
Well, the first four books, my friend Kim Thorne heard me talking about my traveling puzzle piece story. We had taken both of our special needs sons to a bowling alley to bowl that day, and Kim came over and she said, I hear you telling that story, and I just have a picture in my mind of exactly how that puzzle piece should look. She said, I want to do your illustrations. So she did the first four books.
Nice.
But when I got ready to do The Best Dancer, she said, I've moved away. I don't have my little art. I don't have my art supplies. I can't do this anymore. And so I talked to my sister-in-law about helping me. And she says, my sister-in-law said, Evelyn, if you'll draw the pictures, I will paint it. So that's what we did. So I have drawn the pictures, and I'm really not the artist that she is. However, I drew the pictures in there. So if somebody sees the difference in the quality of the artwork, is because I did the artwork.
Oh, no. So I think all of the illustrations are great. Evelyn Heckhouse, you're a delight. I'd love to sit on your back porch in New Bern and have a cup of coffee with you anytime. You can look up all these books on Amazon. Thank you.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Never be afraid to speak up.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Power grid failures and natural disasters, they happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from Sunny-Bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wrap should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from Sunny-Bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click Sunny-Bay.com. That's Sunny-Bay.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
You can feel it all over. Kay, this time around for Author's Corner, to speak with Harry Stefano, who's written two brilliant books, and there's so much more to come. You know, this is the kind of novels, these are the kind of novels that you can really get lost in, and boy, in this day and age, isn't that a treat. So the books are The Gorgeous Mr. Zane and Getting Over Mr. Zane, Stepping Out. Harry, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure. Don't mention it. As I say, it's a living, evolving project, and it's something which I enjoy. So it's a real passion and tribute for me to do this today.
So tell us about the inspiration for these books, for your main character.
I think there was a gap, to be honest with you. I think there's an absolute gap, but it's particularly we're looking at concepts and considering concepts and ideas surrounding positive female strong women, you know, independent women in particular. So, mention the American sitcom that was Sex and the City.
Yeah.
It's kind of, that's the main character there, Sarah Jane Jessica Parker, and her particular writing work and the actual whole, you know, all, you know, not to say a gang of women, but a group of women essentially making it in the Big Apple there. And I think there's a real gap, you know, particularly for working women, because we do get shunned in society still today, I have to say, and lobbied and all sorts. So I kind of thought, well, you know, I wanted to provide my voice, my own individual, unique voice to this. So these books are kind of like my answers to great work, great writers as well, in particular Jane Austen, focusing on the theme of long-standing money and marriage battles there going on and conflicts.
And that's what you hope people take away from this, that it's empowering to women, right?
Yes, absolutely. Self-improvement, education, social mobility. I mean, why not? Do you know what I mean? We're all human at the end of the day. Nobody, I feel, has an absolute monopoly here on anything pretty much. You know, we're all specialities in our own individual spheres.
So you hope people take that away from, I can sense that, and I think everyone can too that's listening, that that's what you hope people get from reading the book. What was it like creating the characters? Was it delicious doing this?
Yes. That just flowed for me. That absolutely just flowed. And I have to admit that I did base some of my characters on sort of male boyfriends I've had over the years. So it kind of flowed because it's more than just a love story, you know. It's a kind of sort of, not a blog as well as such, or a diary entry kind of take, but it's like I'm making comments on society. So that is it, really.
Yeah. So it makes sense. And when you say the book just kind of flowed from you, and then you see it actually done, and here you have these books, what does that feel like?
Yes, it's great. It's because I think it's taken on a life of its own now. It's held on the Hollywood database currently as well for adaptation, for performance adaptation. And I'd like to see it on the big screen, if not Netflix, some kind of sitcom series. But I think it's very versatile material. It's quite flexible what I write. And it's relevant, I think.
Yeah, relevant, well. Absolutely. And we're speaking with Harry Stefano, And the name of the books are The Gorgeous Mr. Zane and Getting Over Mr. Zane Stepping Out. And it's interesting to listen to how you develop the characters and whatnot, and where you see this vision going. And did you ever think that you would write, that you would become a writer?
Do you know, I didn't, it wasn't until it was 2006 when I was toying with the idea, but it wasn't until more recently, 2018 in particular, when I decided I'm going to do this. Because so it took some time, thinking process and other life things get in the way, you know, like work and life, etc. And then I just thought, do you know what? I'm just going to just do it now. I'm going to tinkle my laptop. I'm going to work on during the twilight hours when I work better, because there's less noise and distractions, etc. So I can, and it's good because I can pick this up and put it down. And but I never thought it would kind of, I was always told when I was writing my education assignments in university, and how your writing is good, you know, you have a nice style, you pick up what you research and you make good points. And I thought, oh, you know, I'm going to write my own stuff, because I just feel that there are still gaps, and you know, So I just, it's just been absolute, it's been quite an experience for me. And I've never given up hope, I have to say. So
I love that. Do you have another book coming? I can only imagine that there's more coming down the road.
I think so. I think there's going to be some more work in the pipeline. But I'm just really in awe at the minute with my, with the first two books, getting them out. It's not something I'm going to stop, and I think it's something I can develop further. I think I still have a lot I can do with these particular writing projects.
I love it. So, again, we want to tell everybody, go to Amazon. You can get both those books there. And, again, Harry Stefano, that obviously is a nom de plume, so we're emphasizing that so that you know that when you go to look for them. Well, I can't wait to see what happens in the future and where you take your writing, because these were so, so well done. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you. That means a lot to me, coming from yourself, Kate.
And thank you
for coming
on the show.
Pleasure.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.